Okay, so we were in the middle of discussing the application of Heseba to Dalakosos. And yesterday what we discussed is basically, we discussed the Shach Levitarya, the two Deos in the Gemara, which are basically discussing, once the Gemara establishes two different, versions of Rav Nachman, whether Heseba is Shach to the first pair of Kosos or the latter pair of Kosos, and the two Deos, about which, to which pair of the Dalakosos is the theme of Chirus more Shach, more applicable. And going back and forth based on whether Magid is Kulo focused on Chirus or not. But we pointed out yesterday that what emerges from the Shach Levitarya of the Gemara, it seems, that the issue of applying Heseba to Dalakosos is based on the theme of Chirus. And based on our analysis, that works out very, very nicely with the first approach to the sugya, which says that Heseba is a chilek in the mitzvah, and therefore, Heseba is only applicable to a mitzvah whose internal themes are themes of chiras. But the question we're going to have to discuss now is, but according to approach number two, both versions, if you think that Heseba is a mitzvah bifnei atzma, whether it be applicable, therefore, to chashav achilos, or whether it's a din in the seuda, either version, the question is, how is approach number two, that Heseba is a mitzvah bifnei atzma, how is it going to interpret this Shach Levitarya of the Gemara? Which seems to be a very difficult question. So you agree with the question?
Yeah, I just don't have
that. The answer. Right, so the big question is going to be, how in the world, that's a silent shtach to his chavrusa, but who has a suggestion. So the big question is going to be, and the Rav raises it, Agav, which is basically, how is really any mahalach within approach number two going to understand the Shach Levitarya, which seems to be very focused on the theme of Chirus within the mitzvah itself? So the Rav, one could say a little bit of a cop-out, basically says, don't worry, because the Rambam Lishitaso does what? What does the Rav say? Can you remember? Exactly. So this is, the Rambam Lishitaso to adopting the mitzvah bifnei atzma approach basically omits all of these reasonings, because the Rambam Lishitaso holds that the koveya is seuda. Yudito's laughing at me.
I'm not laughing at you.
We'll get there, right? So the Rav says, again, it's not me, this is the Rav talking. Right, so the Rav says, Rambam Lishitaso leaves out all of these reasonings and just simply paskins that Heseba is shayach to all dalakosos. Says the Rav, yeah, because the Rambam is basically adopting the Seuda approach, and therefore it says that the reason why Heseba is applicable to dalakosos has nothing to do with these svaras. It's very much to do with the fact that dalakosos are a chilek of the Seuda, which we'll discuss in just a moment. So that's what the Rav says. The problem with that is, so the Rambam, end of the day, is the Rav suggesting that the Rambam just paskins against a Gemara? That's basically what he just said. The Rav basically just said the Rambam ignores the Gemara because the Gemara doesn't work well with his approach. And that's it. The question is, but end of the day, unless there's another Gemara which says like the Rambam, how is the Rambam going to just ignore a Gemara without having an alternative, source for his idea? So that's really the question we have to deal with right now. So I just suggest something. Again, anything you're going to suggest is going to be creative, because the Gemara Kapashas sounds against this. So again, I'll suggest something, then we'll call on Chaim to suggest something else. I'm going to suggest the following idea. Again, it is creative, but again, this actually helped, maybe unknowingly, but Ephraim helped me out a little bit yesterday with something he said. But I'd like to suggest that there's a silent transition in the Gemara. When the Gemara has a back and forth within the different deos about to which of the two kosos, the theme of Chirus is more shayach. So at that point, the Gemara is clearly understanding that the koveya for applying a seba to dalakosos is the idea of Chirus. But then, suggesting, when the Gemara lemaskana says, hashta de itmar hachi ve itmar hachi, and then concludes, idi ve idi bo haseba, perhaps there's a transition there. Why would I say there's a transition? So this is where Ephraim Sora comes in. If you assume that the two deos are mutually exclusive, meaning, if you assume that when the first deo says, the deo which says that Heseba is only shayach to the first two kosos, and the other deo says that it's only shayach to the latter two kosos, perhaps those two deos aren't just saying, you know, to which kosas it's more shayach to, but really they're saying to which kosas it's shayach to, and they in each deo thinks that it's not shayach to the other two kosas. For example, right, the deo which says that Heseba is not shayach to the first two kosos because the two first two kosos are about avadim ha'inu, which we explained before. That deo thinks that because there is a theme of shibud within Magid, so that deo thinks that therefore Heseba is not shayach to the first two kosos. Not that it's more shayach to the latter two kosos because of that, but no, that deo thinks that the first two kosos are not shayach to have Heseba applied to, because once there's a shibud theme as part of Magid, it doesn't make sense to be masiv midin cheros. And the other deo, the Mai Dehava Hava Svar, basically says that Heseba is only shayach to the first two kosos, which is centered around Magid. But once you're past Magid, says that other deo, it's not shayach to be masiv for the latter two kosos, because that at that part of the Seder, we're not focused on the theme of Chirus. So if you take that approach, which said that understanding that two deos are mutually exclusive, that each one says it's shayach for the two that they're focusing on, but it's not shayach for the other two, so then when the Gemara says, right, Hashdi itmar hachi v'itmar hachi idi v'idi bo aseba, right, so it could be the Gemara has to fall off of those svaras, because how can you justify doing a seba by all four based on these two mutually exclusive svaros? So maybe the Rambam says, oh, once lamaskana, the Gemara, because of the issue we discussed yesterday of, you know, because you can't pick one over the other, so once lamaskana, we have to apply a seba by all four kosos, perhaps the Rambam says, al karchuk, at that point, the Gemara is basically rejecting the svaros of chirus, because those svaros of chirus only apply to two, but not to all four. So once the Gemara lamaskana is justifying doing a seba by all four, it must be based on an alternative svara, such as su'uda, or chashav achila. And that's where the Gemara, that's where perhaps the Rambam says lamaskana, once the Gemara applies Heseba to all four kosas, it must be that there's an alternative svara, an alternative justification based on either the idea that, you know, all four are part of the Suda, or that all four are chashev achilas. Okay, I figure I would get attacked, but yeah.
So it could be that the first one, that we don't do the first two, because that's like...
That's probably easier to say that. Yeah, so that's a little harder on that side. But could you say that if you say that the only time that a seba is not right, if you say that the only time a seba is not shayach is when you have specifically a theme of shibud, so then yeah, that only applies to the first two. But if you say that no, the only time you think that a seba is shayach is when that is, like, not only the primary theme, but like the front and center theme, so then Mai Dehava Hava might say that, yeah, that Heseba Midin Chiras is not Shayach after Magid when the front and center, when you don't have Chiras being the front and center theme.
Well, also, Gemara says at the end, according to everything you've just said,
No, because I'm saying Hashit Itmar Hachi Ve'itmar Hachi. So once we have these two deos, and, you know, plug in the Ran of the Ram Chalava, and we can't take it stand, and therefore we have to do all four, so then we're going to do all four. But then there's this silent assumption. So you're like, right, because the two deos, the Machalav is in two deos, and the inability to be poshate, so that requires us to do it by all four. But now, in order, that's like, so structurally, you have to do it by all four. But now, how lemaskana are we going to justify a din of a seba by all four? We're suggesting, oh, if it's midin, just the theme of cheres, you can't. That doesn't account for all four. Oh, insert the notion of su'udo or achila. Again, it's not the punch shot for sure. But again, if we're trying to understand the Rambam, and the Rambam clearly adopts, right, a mitzvah bifnei atzmo, either on the su'udo or the achila variety, I don't feel comfortable just saying that he ignored the Gemara and just simply didn't pask in the Gemara. I would like to say that there is some transition somewhere in the Gemara, and the only way I was able to find it is in that last line, with some help with Ephraim Svara, of the two deos being mutually exclusive. Yeah.
Before, in the Rambam itself, it says that even when we're not necessarily talking about a female cleress, but still a person who is making a Rizam Shubach. So the Shaykh to say that my Nahava Hava would necessarily say that we can't.
Yeah, I'm saying you can't meet din chiras. I think the reason why the Rambam says harizem mishubach by su'uda is l'shitasa, and that's what the Gris points out, l'shitasa, that the reason why you're doing haseba is not midin chiras. I mean, it's not midin, like, the theme. I mean, it's not that... I'm saying it like this. Meaning, if you're taking the chiras idea, which basically, you know, the Gemara is saying that haseba is only shy up when the thing you're eating has an internal theme of chiras, so then that wouldn't be shaykh to su'udah.
It's only once you have this chazara.
Exactly. Once you have the chazara, that it's a general din of the haseba is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, so then it's shaykh to extend it to.
Don't we find that many speakers that we seem to be doing contradictory things? Why is it a specific problem over here, based on one sort of svar of
chayrus? Contradict, yeah?
Meaning, let's say, when there was a suffix of yantiv sheni, so they would be knowing, let's say, on Pesach. Maybe they would count
Tiras
Omer and
Seda.
And
okay. So, like, some Rishonim are bothered by the Tartei Sadra, it happens to be. And some say you can't do that. And this whole question of whether you do it specifically before the Seda. So, it's not so simple to say that, yeah, we just accept Tartei Sadra as Sirat Halacha. That's not true. If there are particular ones, number one, a lot of times there are Rishonim who are bothered by that. And number two, a lot of times you have to resolve that, why it's not. So I'm not comfortable saying that, oh, we just, halacha embraces Tartus Atres. So Chaim, you want to suggest yours, or?
I have a question on yours.
Okay, First I'm going to knock down yours before he says yours. He wants to be the only man standing at the top of the mountain, yeah.
How are you saying that first we thought it was intrinsic, say it was intrinsic to the Ayin, and then he were just falling off and saying it's nothing to do with the Ayin itself?
Meaning, first,
that's a big jump for the long.
I'm saying, in the half minute, we thought that haseba was a chilek of the mitzvah, and therefore it required that the dalet kosas themselves had to have an internal theme of chiras, and then we're transitioning off of that. I mean, like, I've seen bigger transitions in Gemaras between havminas and maskanas. You know, you can challenge whether that is the transition going on here, but I'm saying the notion of a transition between a Havamina and a Maskana, between two different, you know, conceptions of a din, that per se doesn't bother me. But without further ado, Chaim, would you like to suggest your
saying similar, you know, I'm just saying that we originally thought that it's intrinsic to it, but that since it's antithetical or neutral, not Darachiras, then it can't be included in Suda, because the whole anything that's included in Suda has to be Darachiras. The whole point of Suda is Laharas Asatma.
Okay. So it's funny. You're now getting into Elazar's question, but just explain what Chaim is saying. Chaim is trying to say when the Gemaras, the two Deos, are discussing, you know, which of the Kosos are more Darachiras, Chaim is saying, even in the Havamina, the Gemara wasn't within the conception that Haseba is a chilek in the mitzvah. Even at that stage, the Gemara is just, you know, figuring out which one has more chayrus to determine chayrus as a simon for what is part of the su'uda. Assuming that something is only defined, only integrates into the su'uda when it is a theme of chayrus. Is that basically what you're saying?
Yeah.
The only problem is that when the Rambam then says harizem mishubach by the shar su'uda, even though that's neutral,
okay,
unless you can be mechal between the harizem mishubach and the mi'ikra adin. You could say the different levels of Haseba. That what the Gemara is discussing is saying that if Haseba is going to be Ikar Adin, it's going to be a Chi of Gamar, so then it could only be part of the, well, it's like an Ikar part of the Su'udah as defined as having the King of Chayrus. The Shar Su'udah, which is neutral, and therefore you can say, but that's, therefore it's not part of the Ikar Su'udah, and therefore it's only Harizem Meshubah.
It's also hard to say that they're not included in the Su'udah just because they're not their Chayrus. Like Berachas HaMazon is not part of the Suda. You're
going to
be saying that.
Well, again, number one, just to defend you, is that Dalet Kosos, again, we're going to get to right now, it's a good transition. Dalet Kosos don't take place within the Suda. So it's a Chiddush to begin with. So it could be that in order for the Dalet Kosos, which really bookend, which come before, right, they come before the Berachas HaMotzi and come after the Berachas HaMazon. So perhaps in order to integrate Dalet Kosos, which time-wise, don't take place within the Suda. If you want to say that they are part of the Suda, maybe you need the theme of Cheres to integrate them. That's how I would defend you. So I'm defending you from your own question. But I think that would be one. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That would be a way to, again, obviously, if something takes place between the Birchas HaMotzi and the Birchas HaMazon, then it's part of the Suda just because of the time. But if something is outside that, you know, that, you know, that time frame, so perhaps you need, you know, a Svara of Cheres to integrate it. Perhaps. Okay. All right, so that's just to how the, you know, again, approaches 2a and 2b are going to understand the Shaka Vitaria. And again, it's a suggestion that maybe the Gemara, you know, falls off of those Svaras, you know, Lamazka. But within, again, the approach 2b, right, that the Dalad Kosos, right, that the Koveya for Haseba is the Su'uda, right, and this is the approach that the Rav takes, and therefore you have to explain that Matzah and Dalad Kosos, the reason why Haseba applies to them is because they are part of the Su'uda. So while that's very easy to explain Matzah, because Matzah is clearly part of the Su'uda, right, it's not so clear, as we just referenced before, that the Dalad Kosos are part of the Su'udah. So therefore the Rav is going to have to garner evidence, right, Mekoros, to prove that the Dalad Kosos, despite the fact that the first two come before the Birchas HaMotzi, and the latter two come after Birchas HaMazon, he's going to have to bring Mekoros to prove that even though the Dalad Kosos come outside the time frame of the Su'udah, that they too integrate into the Su'udah themselves. So I'd like to spend a couple minutes just going through some of the Mekoros, which the Rav basically brings down to prove that the Dalad Kosos are part of the Su'udah, right? So the first makor, everyone have Rambams? If everyone, I should remind everyone to bring Rambams, but people who bring the Rambams become very important here. So the Rambam, if in Perik Ches, Halacha Yadalad. It's a very important Rambam. And this is potentially going to be one makor for the Rav's idea that Dalad Kosos integrate into the Su'udah. You got it? You want to talk? Again, Perek Ches Halach Yedal. I believe this might be the last. I think it's the last halach in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. Apropos for it being the last shir, for some of you guys, right? So, not for everyone, but yeah. Okay, so Yonatan, do you have it?
Yeah. Shidam.
Mishi Yashin.
Yeah. Mishi
Yashin. Stop. Stop there. So, what does the Rambam just say?
Sleeps in the middle of a meal and he wakes up, he doesn't go back and continue
eating. Right, he can't continue eating.
He does the last two kosos.
Exactly. You should do the last two kosos and bench. And the big question is going to be, what's the basis of this Rambam? Why is it that when you fall asleep in the middle of the meal, that you can't continue?
It has to go.
Okay. Right. So let's just do it step by step. Good. So the Ravid is going to be bothered. He says, basically, Rambam, you have no basis. So look at the Ravid. You see, you're right. Hasagas Ravid.
Yeah.
I think the Aleph Al is like Amar Avram. Which basically, so says the Ravid. He says, right, if the Rambam was talking about eating the Karban Pesach, so then, says the Ravid, I would understand the Halacha. Because why? What would be the problem of falling asleep in the middle? Hesach Hadat. And we know there's a Hesach Hadas, right? The concept of Hesach Hadas is posel by kachim. So the Ravid says, I understand your Halacha, which is based on a Mishnah on Kuvches, right? Basically says Ravid, the Mishnah on Kuvches Amar Aleph, which says this idea of falling asleep prevents you from eating, so says Ravid that only makes sense if you're talking about eating the Karban Pesach. But the Ravid is going to ask, but it doesn't make sense, why would there be any posel, right, in the context of eating matzah, of eating your su'udah? But continues the Ravid, the only thing that falling asleep has an impact is the following. He says, Imlo. Stop there. But what is the one impact that falling asleep would have? Not that you can't continue eating, but what would you have to do? If you want to continue eating, what would you have to do? Exactly, you have to wash until Sidayim again and make another Birchas HaMotzi. So the Ravid says, yes, falling asleep in the middle of eating does have some halachic nafkamina, such as needing to wash again and make another, you know, Bracha Rishona. But, the Ravid says, but that doesn't justify the Rambam's psak, which is you can't continue eating. So the question that we have in the Rambam is, what's the basis of his din? Why would the Rambam, or what's the justification of the Rambam's din that if you fall asleep in the middle of eating matzah, you can't continue? So how does Rabbeinu Manoach and the Rashbam on the Mishnah understand? Why would there be a problem of Pesach Hadas in the middle of eating matzah? Exactly, but what type of matzah is it?
It's matzah zecher korban Pesach.
Which one? What do we call that? Avikom. Right? So says Rabbeinu Manoach and the Rambam, right, is an assumption we get to, that the Rambam is talking about the eating of Afikomen. And once you're talking about Afikomen, since Afikomen was nitkan, according to many, zecher korban Pesach, so therefore it's the same dinim as korban Pesach. So just like Hesach Hadas would be posel by korban Pesach, so too, Hesach Hadas is going to be posel by Afikomen. So says the Rabbeinu Manoach. That's how Rabbeinu Manoach explains the Shita of the Rambam. Again, and that's how the Rashbam himself explains the Mishnah on Kuf Ches. He says the Mishnah Kuf Ches, which says that if you fall asleep during eating, it's a problem, that's not only limited to Karban Pesach, it also extends to Afikomen, because Afikomen is, like, in a sense, Ke'en, the Karban Pesach. Oh. But the one problem with this explanation of the Rambam, Ephraim, is what? Right? The Rambam never tells us that he's talking about Afikoman. Right? All the Rambam says, Misha Yashin B'toch, right, B'socha Se'uda. So Mehechi Tesi, so it's an Okimta of the Rabbeinu Manoach to say that the way to explain the Rambam is specifically because we're talking about Afikoman. Right? The Rashbam, it says, that's the case of the Mishnah, that's fine for the Rashbam. But in order for Rabbeinu Manoach to say that that's Pshat the Rambam, there's an assumption there to be mukim the Rambam is talking about Afikomen when that's not clear at all that he's talking about Afikomen. So that brings us to a very fascinating Maharal that the Rav quotes. What does the Maharal say? Actually, do you have anyone have it inside based on we took a picture in the Hari Kedem? Or the Hari Kedem quotes the Maharal, which is like a beautiful language. Again, this is the Maharal in Gvuras Hashem. Right? Although the Maharal is, you know, known for his Inyanei Hashkafa, in Gvuras Hashem he has a lot of Inyanei Halacha as well, particularly on the Haggadah. So a lot of, I actually referenced his Shita on Lechem Oni yesterday, but a lot of, you know, fascinating Inyanei Halacha as well. So here the Maharal is explaining this Halacha and takes a completely different approach, which is going to come back to our topic at hand. Anyone have it? You got it? Chaim. So what's the Takana Drabanan, says the Maharal? What's like the Tsura of the Dalet Kosos in relation to the Suda? Exactly. He says, the way the Chazal were metaking Dalet Kosos is that they need to integrate into the Suda and to bookend the Suda. Therefore, the Takana of Dalet Kosos is that you have a Suda in the middle, which is bookended by Shnayim Lifnei Asuda and Shnayim La'achre Hasuda. So says the Maharal, therefore that needs to be the construct. You need to have a Suda with two beforehand and two after. But what happens when you fall asleep in the middle of the Suda? Right, lefichach miyad kishahivsik v'nisnatnim. Right, lo yachal od. Continue, Chaim. Okay, so what's the Maharal basically saying? What's the problem as discussed by the Ravid? Sorry, as discussed by the Rambam. What's the problem? Well, when you fall asleep in the middle of your Suda, so that in essence, what?
Stops.
Exactly, ends. So in essence, once you fall asleep, that ends the Suda. So he says, so what you should do is right when you wake up, you have to drink the other two kosos, because then you have the Tsura Satakana. You have the two kosos before the Suda, and now two kosos after the Suda. But if you continue eating, he says, that's as if now you're starting a second Suda. So then you have the Tsura is as follows. Then you have one Suda with two kosos beforehand, and then a second Suda with two kosos afterwards. But that's not the Tsura of the Takana, which basically said you needed four kosos to bookend one Suda. So says the Rav, if this Maral's pshat in the Rambam is correct, so this is a raya that the Rambam, l'shitaso, holds that the Dalet Kosos need to integrate into the Suda itself. And therefore, the Rambam Lashitasa, for the Rav, who says that Haseba is all a din in this Su'udah, and therefore the fact that the Rambam applies Haseba to Dalakosos works out well, that the Rambam would have to hold that the Dalakosos integrate into the Su'udah, and this would be, according to the Maral, this Rambam in Perek Ches, Halacha Yudal, is a great Raya, that the Rambam holds that the Dalakosos integrate into the Su'udah. And that's why it would all work out very beautifully. So says the Rav. So again, if you accept the Maral's interpretation of this Rambam, then the Rambam holds this idea that the Tzura of the Takana is for the Dalet Kosos to be integrated into the Sutta. And we pointed out the benefit of the Maral to the Maral's interpretation of the Rambam over the Rabbeinu Menach's interpretation is that, right, the Lashon of the Rambam is Misha Yashin Bitocha Su'uda, which doesn't tell you that it's talking about Afikomen per se, but for the Maral, it works out beautifully, because yeah, as long as you fall asleep in the middle of your Suda, that stops that Suda, and then when you wake up, and if you start eating again, you're going to end up starting a completely new Suda, which is therefore going to break up that, the structure of how the Dalet Sudos are all supposed to surround and bookend one single Suda. Fine. Okay, moving on now to the second Makor for this idea that the Dalet Kosos integrate into the Suda is the Ravid. So again, if you look at the Ravid in Perek Ches, Halacha Yud, and four halachos beforehand. So again, the Rambam is just discussing, right, this, again, in Perek Ches, generally, he's discussing the Seder, right, the Seder, right? And when he gets to the fourth coast, you see the Rambam here, after he mentions the fifth coast, which is a shir in of itself, he says, you see the Yeshlo Ligmur as a Hala? Danny, do you see that part? No, no, in the Rambam, the end of the Rambam.
So one can finish the halal in any place, even though it's not in the place where it is suda.
Exactly. So the Ravid, interestingly, interpreted the Rambam as saying that you could not only say the halal in a different place, but also that you can drink the fourth kos in a different makom. And because the Ravid understood the Rambam as saying that you can drink the fourth kos in a different makom, so now the Ravid gets very upset at the Rambam. Danny, if you mind, first he quotes it and says, Amar Avram.
He says, we're talking about the Ravid?
Yeah, the Ravid on that spot.
Right, Vishal Ligmor Vuler?
Yeah, exactly. And then
Because of Ravid, Zal, Ina Das Nikabelas, Kin, Lafisha In Kanch, Shin, Larva Kosos, in the end of Makom Echa, Akan Lashon.
All right, so what does the Ravid say?
It's not considered arba kosos. They're not the makom suda. So once you leave, you're not allowed to say halal and also
drink
the kosos, because it's not makom suda. It's not considered arba kosos.
Excellent. So the Ravid. So the Rav basically says that the Ravid is a second makor for this idea that the Dalet Kosos need to integrate into the suda, because the Rav is understanding the Ravid, that the fact that the Ravid does not allow you to drink the fourth kos shelo b'makom suda. He says, oh, because it's clear from the Ravid, the Ravid holds, that all four kosos need to integrate into the Suda, and therefore all four kosos need to be drunk, b'makom Suda. So the Rav says, oh, look, the Ravid seems to be a great raya to this same yesod, that all four kosos need to integrate into the Suda. There's one ara, is that, it could be this way, friends, about to say, which is that it's not clear from the Ravid that they all need to be b'makom Suda as much as they need to be b'makom Echad. Right, because the Ravid's focus is the shame Dalet Kosos. Right, you need to have a tseruf, you need to have a connection between all four kosos in order for them to be defined as the four kosos. So it could be that the Ravid is not, that the din of the Ravid of not being able to drink the fourth kos in a different place, it's not necessarily stemming from the fact that all four need to integrate into the Su'uda as much as they all need to be b'makom echad. And generally, where's that makom going to be? That's going to be the makom Su'uda. Like, that's not a din in makom Su'uda and all four kosos needing to integrate into the Su'uda as much as they just all need to be b'makom echad to have a tseruv between all four. That's just how Ara... Yeah.
Stop trying to
Rambam thing. Oh, okay, good. Excellent. So now the question is, wait a second. So how are you going to defend the Rambam, right? If the yisod of needing all four kosos to be drunk, b'makom echad, is a din in all four being in the same, integrating to the sudas, then why does the Rambam disagree? So the answer to that question of, again, if the Rambam, according to the Rav, really accepts this yisod that all four kosos are part of the sudas, then why does the Rambam allow you to drink the fourth kos in a different place? So what's the answer to that? Does the Rambam really allow you to drink it? If you look carefully at the Lashon of the Rambam, and I think this is pointed out by the Nosah Kelim, the Magid Mishnah, and the Lecha Mishnah, the Rambam never says you can drink the fourth kos elsewhere. All he says is that v'yishlo ligmur es ha-halel b'chol makom she-yirtze. So as the Nosah Kelim pointed out, the Rambam, again, the Ravid seems to misinterpret the Rambam. The Ravid seems to interpret the Rambam as saying that you can drink the fourth kos and say halal in a different place. But it could be that the Rambam says, no, as long, you have to drink the fourth kos in the makom su'uda. All he's saying is that the halal, which is associated with that kos, could be b'makom acher. And then the Nosah Kelim bring Gemaras, which seem to suggest, you know, a difference between, you know, the halal and that which is being being eaten with.
Israel. So you would go somewhere else, say halal, and come back, and then have to drink the cup?
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. It's a little strange. Like, I think the Rambam is saying, but Mi'ikar Adin, the Makom Echa is not a din in the halal. It's just a din in the Arba Kosos. And therefore, as long as the Arba Kosos are drunk the Makom Echad, so then that integrates, according to the Rav, that integrates all four.
The yeah. Same problem with the Rebbe has,
one more time.
Isn't the Rebbe's assumption that if things are not done in the same place, they're not mitzvahed to each other? Wouldn't that also be a problem with the fact that you're kosher and your halal aren't good
enough? Oh, you're saying according to this interpretation, the Nosah Kelim, that the halal, yeah. So again, they bring that's the raya that they bring from Peivav. Where the Gemara says in the context of Hallel being recited alongside the Karban Pesach, so there the Gemara says that you can recite your Hallel in one place and eat the Karban Pesach in another place, even though the din is to say Hallel alongside your Karban Pesach. So the raya from there is that, yeah, in order to be mitzarif the Hallel to the Achila, you don't need Makom Echad. It's like, you know, it's like a Kiddush Makom Suda type halacha. That, again, obviously, Yesh L'chalik. But that type of idea, again, if just like there are shitas of, not getting there, but it's clear from the Gemara and Peivav that you can have the halal of Karban Pesach in a different place than the Makom Achila, and that's what they're pointing to. Again, you could say there's a different type of tzeruf needed between the Dalet Kosos, and again, not all tzerufs were created equal. I'm saying it could be that a hot man in the Indian of saying halal ala kos is more flexible. The connection of the halal to the kos is more flexible than. Again, especially considering the fact that they're said like back to back, could be that just the timing back to back creates a tzeruf. While in Dalet Kosos, because they're all said at very different points along the Seder, it's more like in order to compensate for that time lag, you needed more of a tzeruf, possibly. You're fine.
I mean, even with the halal on the coast, there's no problem of bringing the coast up there and saying it on the coast if you think it down there, no?
One more time?
Even. The only thing you need to say,
Oh, so you're saying it could be that you brought the kos up there?
Yeah.
And that'd be another answer to the question. You hear, Elazar? And I mean, just like maybe you brought the Karban Pesach, you just eat the Karban Pesach earlier. Okay, could be.
The Karban Pesach is different because you can't, I don't think you can bring it.
Oh, okay, that's Psal Yotze. Is that
Psal Yotze? It's not
Yishlaim, so. Okay, so that wouldn't work there. But, yeah. Okay, so.
That the Rebbe is saying that it's different.
What?
It's, well, you don't know it's different. They're saying that Karban Pesach is different, which you have to say anyway, than the
Rav. No, I wasn't saying that for Elazar. I mean, all I'm saying is that it's clear from that Gemara that you can have a tzeruf between a halal and that which halal is associated with, even if they're not b'mokom echad. So that stands, right? Because there, you're clearly, the Karban Pesach, as a chepta, is being left on the Ara, I think, right? And even though you're saying the halal on the Gag, there's still a sufficient tzeruf. So I'm saying, so too here, even if you didn't bring the coast to that other place, it's seemingly. No, that's what the Magid Mishnah and Lecha Mishnah are pointing out. That, you know, again, for the tzeruf between the halal and the ochal that it's connected to, you don't need to be in the same place.
But also, just within the Rambam, why isn't it a problem if you're trying to create this cohesion of the Su'uda, Yavashin and Makom now that you're leaving? Why doesn't that also disrupt that flow?
Again, as long as you come back. Just like Nisnamnu. I mean, like, there are a lot of halachas that you're allowed to leave in the middle as long as there's something which connects you. Okay, but again, as long as maybe the fact that you have das to come back, there are factors which can, you know, create seruf, you know, even when you leave. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Oh yeah. All right.
It says that the halal has to be by the halal. The halal is in the box.
Where does it say that? Yeah, I mean, that means halachically the howl is defined as being al kos revi. It doesn't, the question is now how to create that seraph. I mean, as we were saying before, Gemara Pevav says that you have to say halal during the Karban Pesach, but yet you can have Shnei Mekomos. So we're saying just like you have a seraph there between the halal and the Karban Pesach, so too here you have a seraph, and the halal is defined as being al kos, even though it's in Shnei Mekomos. That'd be the idea. Okay, so just to conclude this piece of the Rav, basically, right, so once the Rav develops this idea that the Rambam holds that a seba is a din in the Su'uda, and the Heseba by Dalakosis is because Dalakosis is part of the Su'uda. And therefore, we just brought the Rayas from the Rambam and the Ravid to this idea that the Dalakosis are integrated into the Su'uda. But the Rav says one very important nafkamina which emerges from all this analysis, that it says the Rav, if you hold, it's very important, that if you hold the Dal Kosos needs to be part of the Suda, he says, if you have a case where you don't have matzah, so then says the Rav, you don't drink the Dal Kosos. Yushchidish, generally you would say the two different mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of matzah, there's a mitzvah of Dal Kosos. If you Rahman al-Atzlan, you don't have access to matzah, you can't be Mekayim in mitzvah Doraisa, that's terrible, but you can still be Mekayim in the mitzvah Rabbanim Dal Kosos. But according to the Rav's analysis, if Dalakosos is all, if the Takana of Dalakosos is that they are integrated into the Su'udah, then that's Ma'akev, so then it emerges according to the Rav, that if you don't have a Su'udah, if you don't have matzah, then you don't have Dalakosos. But says the Rav, because the whole Koveya of the matzah is to create a Su'udah in order to, right, the whole Koveya for the matzah in order to allow for the Dalakosos, in order just to create a Su'udah, says the Rav, even if you don't have matzah shmura, and the matzah that you're eating is matzah she'inu shmura, and therefore you won't be yotze the mitzvah, but the matzah she'inu shmura will still suffice to create a Su'udah to therefore allow you to then bimkaim the Dalakosos, which will then integrate into that Su'udah. So again, once the whole point of the matzah vis-a-vis the Dalakosos is to create a kaviyah suda, so then as long as you have any matzah, really any bread, which on Pesach has to be matzah, as long as you have any bread, any matzah, even if that matzah is ein shmura, and therefore it can't be yotze the mitzvah with, but it would still be able to create a suuda to thereby enable you to then be mekayim the mitzvah of Dalakosos within that suuda of the matzah shein shmura. Fine. Okay. The last thing we need to do within this discussion of Dalakosos before moving on to the Shar Su'udah is to analyze the Shita of Tosfos. Right? And we're going to see that it's not so clear what within the first day of Tosfos. Again, if everyone can turn to Tosfos, my Dehava Hava. Right? The first day in Tosfos, it's not 100% clear what the first day's perspective is on the Haseba of Yayin. Right, it's clear that the first day of thinks that the Haseba of Matzah is a din in the Su'udah, but not so clear about what its perspective is in terms of the Yayin. Yudadov, would you mind?
Okay.
Sorry, that's just a svar. Now he asked the Kasha.
Yeah, fuck off. The Matzah Tzricha Haseba. Hello, Amar Mai Dehava Hava.
Right, so what's the kasha?
Well, matzah we do after Magid, right? We just copy from it.
Even the first matzah. So why don't we apply the same svar Mai Dehava Hava to say that Haseba is not shaykh to matzah?
So shayni matzah, chi ikar suda. No, shayni matzah is different. It's ikar suda, you tear me yayin.
Right. I can hear your eyebrows are raised, literally and figuratively, right? So right, yosir mi yayin, more than wine.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a big line. Right, so what Tosas just said is that, oh, the reason why the Svar of Mai Dehava Hava, the reason why the lack of Chirus, according to that Deya, doesn't bother us by the Haseba of Matzah, is because the Haseba of Matzah is not Midin Chirus, it's not a Chilik in the Mitzvah, it's rather, it's about the Su'udah. But then he says, Yosir Miyayin. So the question is, what does this Deya think is the Koveya of Haseba for wine? So going to suggest two different Mahalachim within Tosos. So the Rav's Mahalach in Tosos, which I don't think is as meduic, but the Rav assumes that the factor of Su'uda within this day in Tosos only applies to Matzah, but doesn't apply to the Dalakosos. So again, in contrast to his Pshat the Rambam, the Rav interprets this day in Tosos as saying that Haseba midin Su'uda is only applicable to matzah, but isn't applicable to dalet kosos, and that's why the dalet kosos, it's all about the cheiros, and therefore it's subject to the svara of mai dehava hava. That's the Rav's interpretation of this day on Tosos. Before getting back to whether that's the, you know, pshat on Tosos, what emerges from this interpretation of Tosos by the Rav is something very fascinating, and that is that there are two types of aseba for matzah and for dalet kosos. If you recall, when we were setting up the sugya the first day, we basically said that certain mefarshim are going to have two dinim, two different types of aseba. So one example of that, and we'll see other examples when it comes to the suda, the shar suda discussion, one example of that is this day on Tosos according to the Rav. Because according to the Rav's interpretation, what comes out is that the din of aseba for matzah is a din in the su'udah. It's a mitzvah bifnei atzma, which is a din which is connected to the su'udah. But, says the Rav B'Shem Tosos, but the haseba of dalet kosos is a haseba, which is a chilek in the mitzvah itself. So according to the Rav's interpretation of this daya, Tosos has two conceptions of haseba, which are different for matzah and dalet kosos, which is a very important ha'ara, that you can have a different type of haseba for matzah and dalet kosos. And based on the analysis, Tosos, according to this, should possibly be machalik between the ikuv of haseba for matzah and for dalet kosos. Right? If you take the analysis to its conclusion, you would say maybe haseba would only be ma'akev yayin dalet kosos because it's a chilek in the dalet kosos, but perhaps it wouldn't be ma'akev matzah, because when it comes to matzah, it's not a din in the mitzvah itself. It's not a chilek in the mitzvah. It's just a din in the su'udah. That's going to be important when we analyze the shita of Tosos in terms of... It happens to be fascinating. Perhaps Tosos Shitasa, if you look very carefully to Tosos Kulunami, he only mentions the tzad of ikuv by what? By yayin. He doesn't mention it by matzah. Perhaps that would work out well with this interpretation of the Rav.
That's what's going on
in our correct, but the only time he, again, all I'm saying is the only time Tosos ever mentions the tzad, that haseba is ma'akev, is when discussing dalet kosos. He could have said that when he was discussing matzah. He doesn't. So I'm just saying, it's a ha'ara. And in light of the Rav's interpretation of the first daya, it would possibly work out, because if according to the first daya at least, right, haseba for matzah is not a chelik in the mitzvah. It's din in the su'uda, it's a mitzvah b'nei atzma, therefore it wouldn't be ma'akev.
Does the Rav say this idea of two different types of aseba explicitly?
No, that just...
So I'm saying maybe...
I think that emerges.
You know, maybe you could push something a little closer to Chaim's understanding that the idea of having a aseba by su'uda has to do with the fact that there's something to su'uda that's just...
That wouldn't work out, because the whole point of Gemara, the whole point of Tosos is trying to understand why we don't care about the svara of Maida Hava Hava when it comes to matzah.
No, but
do you hear what I just said? Do you process?
Wait.
Okay.
Sure.
You responded too quickly.
Okay.
The whole point of Tosos is trying to understand why the factor of Maida Hava Hava, which means why the factor of Cherus not being applicable after Magid doesn't bother us when it comes to matzah.
Yeah.
And he says the reason why it doesn't bother us when it comes to matzah is because the koveya for matzah is su'udah.
Right.
Implication being that for Tosos, the factor of su'udah is independent of the theme of cheres, and therefore not impervious to the svara of Maida Abaha.
But so I'm saying, I agree, that's what I'm trying to say, that even though it's independent, it ultimately... connects back to it, meaning even though there's not something intrinsic necessarily about it that has to do with the theme of Cheres, the fact that it's a has to do with Suda makes it shayach to this whole overall theme of like doing things al derech Cheres, like when you do a seba, right, part of Suda, right, that's
But you still don't need the internal, you know, you don't need the svara of, I mean, that the particular thing at hand, be it matzah or dalet kosos, has an internal theme of chiras, according to Tosos.
Right.
Okay.
But I'm saying it's not necessarily two independent dinim of...
My point is, that according to that first day in Tosos, The point is that the haseba of matzah is not an internal matzah din. It's rather, it's a din in the su'udah. And therefore, it shouldn't be makiv. That's all I'm saying. Right?
You need to rough it because you said matzah is a rice or not.
To explain what?
Why there's only suffix in
the process. Okay, but the rush has a matzah. Well, I mean, and the idea, so again, and I explained it before. The idea of it being ma'akev is that midrabanan, meaning midrabanan, they view it.
But what I'm just saying is that the way you were explaining it, it was like that there are two separate dinim in haseba, but maybe it's all ultimately rooted.
I'm not saying that there are almost only there are different conceptions of haseba. I'm not saying that they're not related in some general sense. Haseba, according to everyone, has to do with chayrus. But I'm saying, the whole sugya has been trying to develop. These are two different conceptions of haseba. Is haseba chelik, an internal chelik in the mitzvah, or is it a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo? So I'm saying, coming out of Tosos, is that yayin, talikosos, and matzah have these two different conceptions of haseba. For yayin, it integrates into the mitzvah itself, but for matzah, it's a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. Can we hold off for now? I just want to make sure we finish everything, and we'll finish later. I just feel like we can argue forever. So. Right, so again,
When you talk about Gala's closest, we saw it's like as a phase that you can yield to someone else the closest, so you have to yield to someone else the Haseba. So it's not Haseba Gala.
One more time?
You can yield to someone else the closest, so must, you can't yield to someone else Haseba, so must be Sama.
Oh. No, this would come out that it would be Ma'akev. Yayin. Because for Yayin, it would be a Chelik. It's a good ha'ar. You have to figure out if only one person's doing it. It's obviously only a din in the person who's being shoset.
Yeah,
that's an interesting ha'ar that we have to think about. Anyways, but in terms of the other point, so the other interpretation of this Tosos, and I think others in Seder agreed with this, is that the Rav's interpretation is difficult because if Tosos stopped and said shiny matzah she ikur su'uda and stopped there, so then you would say okay that matzah is part of the su'uda and yayin isn't. But when he finishes and says shehi ikr su'uda yoser miyayin, the implication is that matzah is more of a primary aspect of the su'uda than yayin is, but dal kosas are also an aspect of the su'uda. Right? I think that's the more pashut read. When you say that something is more than something else, it sounds like both of them are shayach to the thing at hand. The only question is quantitatively, which one is shayach more? So again, I think an alternative understanding of tosas, when it says shiny matzah shehi ikr su'uda yoser miyayin, sounds like Tosas is saying that, an aspect, right, it sounds like that yayin is also part of the suda. It's just not as big of a part, not as central, not as primary a part of the suda as matzah is. So what emerged from this interpretation of Tosos, also fascinating, is that there are two aspects to the Haseba of Dalet Kosos, which we really haven't seen yet, a two dinim of Haseba within the same item. That the Haseba for Dalet Kosos has two different functions. Number one, it accentuates the internal theme of the mitzvah, hence the application of Ma'ida Hava Hava. And it also is connected to the fact that the Shtiyas Dalet Kosos is part of the Su'udah. So what come out of this first day in Tosos, according to this interpretation, is that for Tosos, the Haseba of Dalet Kosos has two dinim itself. It's partially because the Haseba is a chelik in the mitzvah itself, and it's partially because it's part of the su'udah. But what will come out of it is that yayin seemingly requires both of these factors. Sounds like each one of these factors alone would not be enough to be mechayev Haseba. Just cheshem it out. The whole point of my dahava hava of Tosos is to say that, because if you didn't have the svara of chayrus, if you thought that Ma'ida Hava Hava dictated that there's no sufficient, either sufficient or no theme of Cheres for the latter two Kosos, so then there's no Haseba for the latter two Kosos, right? So it's clear in that direction that you for sure need the factor of Cheres in order to justify Haseba. On the other side, the fact that the Rambam says Yosher Miyayin, implying that Yayin is also part of the Suda, it would sound like that the factor of Cheres alone wouldn't independently be Mechayev, if not for the fact that the Yayin also has this component of being part of the Su'udah. So what would emerge from this day in Tosos is that in order to justify Haseba by Dalakosos, you need both factors of it being, of the Haseba by Dalakosos will both accentuate the Cheres theme within Dalakosos, and it will be associated with the Su'uda that Dalakosos represents. And just one Ara is that what comes out, what emerges from this analysis, that right, that each factor alone wouldn't be sufficient to be mechayev. You could have asked the question, but like, why? Right, the fact that this su'uda aspect of yayin isn't sufficient, you can say, because it's not the primary aspect of the su'uda, right? And the whole point of matzah being yosir miyayin is the fact that since yayin is only a secondary aspect of the su'uda, so maybe being only a secondary aspect of the su'uda, that can't be mechayev. Can't be Machayev Haseba Midin Su'uda alone. Fine. But on the other end, why can't the internal Cheres theme to Dalet Kosos, why wouldn't that be Machayev alone? Right? We see it be Machayev alone for, you know, for the other cases. So it could be, again, Tosos L'Shitas. Remember we pointed out that Tosos is Shita within Dalet Kosos, as seen by Tzalites HaMebeis, is that Tosos severely downplays the theme of Cheres within Dalet Kosos. So it could be Tosos L'Shitaso to downplank the role of Cheres within Dalet Kosos, therefore thinks that the internal theme of Cheres within Dalet Kosos alone, without also having the Su'uda component, wouldn't be able to be Mechayev, because Tosos L'Shitaso on Tzali Tassim Abiz doesn't think that Cheres theme within Dalet Kosos plays such an outsized role within Dalet Kosos. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, so again, that's not Mukhra from Tosos. You only know the other way. You only know from Tosos that the Su'uda alone. All I'm saying is the fact that Tosos adds the fact that Dalet Kosos also has the component of Su'uda, that could imply, again, that's not Mukhra, that could imply that that's a necessary function. It's a necessary component.
Is that, original kasha is why is matzah any different? We have the same problem at Abba Hava. He's saying that the answer is that matzah is part of the suda. Or the matzah is ikar suda. One could have said, but so is yayin. Isn't Tosis coming to like kind of preempt that?
Oh, you're saying, all he's saying, okay, so you're saying all he could be saying, right, Davina Mechro. All he could be saying is that matzah is more central than yayin, and therefore the haseba of matzah can be just based on su'uda alone. And you're saying, and all he's saying is that you don't have that by yayin. 100% correct. But it's possible, not mukhrach, it's possible that, but because yayin is also an aspect of the su'uda, that you also have that component. But you're right, I don't know for sure that the cheres theme wouldn't be mechayev on itself. All I'm saying is that if it wouldn't be, and if he needed the su'uda component, it could be because Tosos Shitasa, but you're right. It's the only achreach is that the su'uda component can't be mechayev, and that's because it's only secondary. Point taken, yeah.
So according to that, I mean, this Tosos?
Yeah.
Would you have to be chozer?
According to this, now it becomes interesting. Because if you'd only need to be chozer for which aspect? The aspect of the Cheres. And we know for sure that that aspect is not, can't be Mechayev alone. Right? Because that for sure we agree, right? No, sorry, we don't agree. Sorry. So depending on me and Elazar's discussion, so that would depend on whether Tosos thinks that the aspect of Cheres alone could be Mechayev Haseba. If the aspect of Cheres alone could be Mechayev Haseba, so then you would be, and you should be chozer from that perspective. Because then you missed out on the chelek of the mitzvah, and that alone would be mechayev to repeat, right? I'll come back. Yeah, quickly.
Yeah, I mean, just again, couldn't you say chaim spjat that suda and cheres are synonymous?
I don't think synonymous, but that, again, I think from Tosos it's clear they're not synonymous.
Why?
Because, again, that you're just continuing our old conversation. We'll continue afterwards. I just think it's clear from Tosos that he's separating. The whole point of Tosos is he's trying to separate Su'uda from Ma'ida Hava Hava. He's trying to extricate it. the Su'uda as being Mechayev, which is impervious from the Chayrus.
In the first day?
Yeah, that's the whole point.
He doesn't mention Chayrus in the first day.
That's the whole Kasha. The Kasha is, why do you not care about the lack of Chayrus when it comes to matzah? The answer is, we don't care about the lack of Chayrus by matzah because matzah has an independent Mechayev of Su'uda.
No, but maybe he just holds that the whole idea of Su'uda is synonymous with the idea of Chayrus.
But then you then Chazer Kosher L'Duchto, then Ma'ida Hava Hava should undermine it.
No, but the idea of Ma'ida Hava Hava is this outlook on
Ma'ida Hava Hava says there's no Chayrus anymore.
Right.
And yet there's Matzah. Yet there's Haseba. Tos is saying there's Haseba by Matzah even though Ma'ida Hava Hava and there's no Chayrus.
The idea that it is Suda reinforces the idea of the Chayrus.
I think that's a dachuk understanding. I think it's a little too convoluted for my taste. Again, I just want to make sure we finish. We have 5 minutes before we have to finish. So the next thing I'd like to do, again, so far, just keep the thing organized. We discussed the application of Haseba to matzah. We just finished discussing the application of matzah, of Haseba to dalakosas. I'd like to now discuss the application of Haseba to shar su'uda. Right? And we, as we pointed out, the question about whether a seba is shayach to, right, the shar su'uda, you're eating of, you know, basa or whatever you're eating, seems to be a mixed, you know, evidence in terms of the Mishnah and the Gemara. We pointed out right away that the Mishnah on Tzadi Tesim Beis seems to introduce the din of a seba in the context of stam achila, implication being that a seba would be shayach to any achila. But if you look at the Gemara on Kuf Ches, the Gemara only seems to mention Haseba in the context of the mitzvos achila of the night, which seems to imply it's dafka shayach to the mitzvos achila and not to shar su'uda. So so that's just the textual evidence. So now, has this tie in to the overall halachim, as we discussed? So let's go through this quickly, right? If you think that Haseba, like the first approach, is a din, is a chelek in the mitzvah, so then obviously it shouldn't be shayach to su'uda. Because right, the whole point of Haseba, that's a chelek in the mitzvah, it accentuates the internal theme of a particular mitzvah of matzah or dalakosos. So then, that's not going to be shayach by shar su'uda, which aren't mitzvahs and don't have any internal themes of cheres. Right? So again, if you think that the only value to Haseba is it being a chelek in the mitzvah, so then it shouldn't be shayach to shar su'uda. And it happens to be that the Rush and Tosfos, within certain deos, who adopt this first approach, never mention the value of doing Haseba by Shar Su'uda. It works out very nicely. Again, if it's a chelik in the mitzvah, it's not shayach to Shar Su'uda. But if you take the mitzvah bifnei atzma approach, if you take approach number two, be it a version A or version B, that again, the Haseba is a mitzvah bifnei atzma, it's associated with either chashuv achilos or the primary aspects of the Su'uda, so then, you could say that there is a value to doing Haseba, the Haseba of the mitzvah bifnei atzmo for shar su'uda, because right, as long as you're you know, having your su'uda, so there's the value of laharos to do Haseba as much as possible. But that being said, because we pointed out within the achila version or the su'uda version that there is perhaps a difference between chashuv achilos and non-chashuv achilos, or a difference between primary aspect of the su'uda and non-primary aspect of the su'uda, you could still say that even if Haseba is shayach to shar su'uda, it could still be on a lower level than the Haseba, which is associated with, you know, matzah and dalakosis, for instance. So we're going to see, whenever the Mefarshim mentioned the value of Haseba by shar su'uda, they all say it as a lichatzchil. No one says it's me'ikar adin. So again, but what do you mean if it's a mitzvah if the atzmo, maishna, matzah and dalikosis on the one hand, and shar su'uda on the other hand? The answer is we've been developing, even within the mitzvah if the atzmo approach, and that it is associated with achila or su'uda, perhaps it's specifically limited to the ikar achila or the ikar su'uda, and therefore shar su'uda not being the ikar achila, not being the ikar su'uda, it might have a lichatzchila value of Haseba, but it's not going to be a chiyav gamur like the Haseba b'shas matzah and dalakosos. Oh. So let's just quickly go through the mefarshim who cite this value of Haseba by shar su'uda. The first one is the Rambam. Right? The Rambam in Perek Zayin Halacha Ches, right, specifically says after saying, anyone have it? The Emesai Tzrich and Haseba? Tzvi, do you have it? Rashi read the Rambam says in Parak Zayin Halacha Ches, when do we require a seba? It says b'shas achilas kezayis matzah b'shtias arba kosas ha'elu. The chiyuv of a seba is during matzah and dalakosas. But he adds ushar achilaso ushtiaso imhesiv hariz emeshubach. But there's a lechatzchila value to also doing a seba for shar seuda. And as the Grizz and everyone points out, this works out very nicely, Rambam Mishitaso. Rambam holds that a seba is not a chilek in the mitzvah, but is rather just a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo of laharos as atzmo, ki'ilu yatzim in Mitzrayim, therefore applies, at least on a lechatzchila value, haseba to shar su'uda. Fine. Now moving on to the Me'iri, which also has an additional point. So the Me'iri, anyone have the Me'iri here? This is very important to read inside. Anyone have the Me'iri? Kovitz? Really, got it? So I have it here. So anyone who has it can open up the Me'iri. The Me'iri on the Mishnah Tzadites starts off by saying, I was very excited, never noticed it before. I think he agrees with the diuk that I had. He says, if you just read the Mishnah on Tzadites, the implication is that Haseba is Shayach to all Su'uda. I think in line with the diuk that we made at the beginning of the Su'uda, at the beginning of the Sugya. So he says, Shema atasavur sheitzara chaseba ba'ochu ochel mizono. So you might think on the basis of the simple interpretation of the Mishnah of Salites that a seba is shayach to all achila. He says, Eino kein, it's only shayach to the mitzvos. So the Me'iri says that no, it's not, you don't have a chi of gamor of a seba by the shar su'uda, because really a seba is a din in the mitzvah itself. But then he adds, "Bim hayam mesiv b'chol asuda hariz emeshubach." But he agrees in the end, right? After saying that a seba is a din in the mitzvah, he agrees then with the Rambam and says, "Oh, but there is a lichatchila value of hariz emeshubach to do a seba b'shar suda." So at first glance, this seems this Me'iri, and again in the Ramah, I'm not going to have time, but the Ramah in Tav Ayin Beis Siv Zayin has the same thing. First starts off by saying that Haseba is a din in the mitzvah, and therefore, if you don't do Haseba during matzah and dalakosas, it's ma'akev. And then says, the Ramah, that the chatzchila, you should do the whole suda. And the question is, both the Me'iri and the Ramah seem to fly in the face of everything we've been saying. Right? The way the Grizz and all, you know, base brisk, the way they set it up, it's binary. Either you choose Haseba as a chilek in the mitzvah, and therefore it's only shayach to the mitzvos, and therefore it's ma'akev the mitzvos. And in that case, they say it's not going to be shayach to the shar suda. Or you say it's a mitzvah b'pnei atzmo, and then it is shayach to the shar suda, but then it can't be ma'akev. So how can the Me'iri and the Ramah have their cake and eat it too? Basically, they say both. They say it's a din in the mitzvah, and therefore it's ma'akev, but yet say there's a lechatzchila value of doing hiseba by shar suda. So the answer is the Me'iri and the Ramah hold of two dinim. They hold that there are two dinim of Haseba. There's a Haseba by matzah and dalakosas where a Haseba integrates into and becomes a chilek in the mitzvah itself and therefore is ma'akev. But they hold that there's also an additional din of Haseba, which is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, which is therefore shayach on a lechatzchila level bishar for the entire su'uda. So again, the Me'iri and the Ramah would be examples of the multiple dinim approach, which say that they don't just take one or the other. They say they're both forms of Haseba apply in the Sugya. We'll stop here because of Mincha, and I'll take questions on